Our next speaker is Al from the Student Climate Networks. Al.
Begin by thanking Senox Grayson for organising this event. So I'm the UK Student Climate Network. I'll give you a bit of an introduction to those of you who don't know about us. So we host the Fridays of Future Climate Strikes in the UK. And I'm glad to say that on September 20th last month, we had 100,000 people in London alone, trade unionists, workers, students, people who are unemployed, joining in, marching for the climate to say that enough is enough and we need to take climate action now. So in the UK Student Climate Network, as climate justice campaigners, we have four demands for government to set out. We want to see the future being saved, taught, told, and empowered. We want to see the implementation of an equitable Green New Deal, putting social, economic, and climate justice at the heart of the agenda, whilst also ensuring that we reach our promise to eliminate carbon emissions and reach net zero by 2030. Not 2050, as the government may seem to put out, or 2045, as the Liberal Democrats propose, or never, as climate deniers propose. At first glance, it may seem that climate justice and social justice are two separate causes that are not interlinked at all. That's similar to when people think that fuel poverty is non-existent in this country. It's also as ridiculous as when people claim that this environment of hate will not worsen in terms of narratives of xenophobia, whether we leave the European Union or not. The thing is, I personally am against Brexit, and if we're dragged out of the European Union and into this, we're being dragged out of the European Union and into a fascistic wonderland by an egotistical buffoon who has no mandate and whose mandate is to capitalise by hurting the working classes and those at need. After mentioning things such as a Green New Deal, some of you may be wondering what utter nonsense I'm on about. After all, I'm a 16-year-old child. But the thing is, and you also might be wondering why I'm saying that climate justice is a fight that we all need to take if you're a social justice campaigner or an anti-racist campaigner. Firstly, it is very evident that you cannot have social justice injustices being defeated without at least campaigning for climate justice. Cornelia touched on this very briefly at the end of what she was saying earlier on. The same thing applies to economic injustice. I walked into this room around 15 minutes before this plenary began, and I caught the end of Gary Young talking, where he was speaking about the myth of freedom of speech in this country. And we've seen that with certain protesters from Extinction Rebellion being banned from exercising their rights to protest in the City of London, that if those of us in the climate movement are not standing in solidarity with social justice campaigners, and vice versa, then we're both being hypocritical to the causes we care so much about. And as I mentioned before, it's why we are also calling for a Green New Deal. It is why in Green New Deal that we're calling for that we want marginalised communities to be at the centre of a just transition to renewable energies, the same communities who, surprise, surprise, have been the most affected historically by climate injustice and will be the most affected if we don't take action now. The same communities who are scapegoated by politicians throughout the political spectrum, whether you're Boris Johnson or Nigel Farage. Colonisation, racial injustices and imperialism have played their part in causing the ecological crisis, and I think that if we're not acknowledging their roles here, then we are either intentionally or unintentionally pandering to the views of the racist right. I'd like to touch on a question I received on a panel similar to this one today about narrative and how to counter fascistic narratives presented in the mainstream media. Firstly, this question was in relation to the inclusion of Judah Harvey Brewer. Don't know what you've heard of her, she's not a very particularly nice woman when it comes to climate or views on people who aren't right. One, wherever you may say you are on the left, if you're not calling out people who bully 16-year-old teenagers with Asperger's on Twitter, then you are just as bad as those who are saying, who are really being complicit with these narratives. You're just as bad as not countering someone like Tommy Robinson, for example, who really should be in prison right now. I know I'm short of time, but in response to the second part of that question, I think in countering narratives, we should campaign, we should use our voices, we should protest, we should strike to say enough is enough. Whether you are fed up with climate injustice, whether you're fed up with the government not treating tragedies like Brentford properly, enough is enough. And we know very well from history that if we don't work together, climate justice campaigners, social justice campaigners, to counter far-right narratives, then we are only making the situation worse. The far-right will grow. We've seen throughout history. This is why it's important that you all join in with the global climate movement, whether you are a social justice campaigner or not, because in 10 years' time, if we're still going on about Brexit and not taking enough action, we won't have time left. We know the facts. And I'm really perplexed as to why the government or anyone really isn't listening to the voices of young people, because we know this country is fed up with experts, as Michael Gove famously said. But young people who have no voice, who aren't allowed to vote, what else are we supposed to do if you don't let us do that? I mean, you trust us to do that. We believe that young people's voices should be at the centre, and this is why we're calling the vote to 16 now.